If you'll turn your Bibles to Luke 22, Luke chapter 22 will be our reading this morning. Father, thank you that it's a wonderful joy to share together and to come around your word. Father, we thank you for prophecy. We thank you for the Old Testament, the New Testament, and all the truth we see it. And Lord, I pray that as we just come around your word, that you would indeed tug at our souls. Lord, as we reflect on your commitment, Lord, on your giving up, Father, we know that that truth touches our lives. And Lord, we desire to be more and more like you. So Father, we ask that you'd speak to us. Father, we pray for those who are here in this church. We pray for those at home who are watching and joining in with us. We pray for each one, Lord, that you would just speak by your Spirit. Father, we pray for those who are not well, who are sick, some who have COVID. Lord, we just pray that you would console them, touch them, heal them. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. A famous painting by Holman Hunt, The Shadow of Death, you'll see it there on the screen if you've never seen it before, depicts the young Jesus inside his father's carpentry shop in Nazareth. You'll see there he's stripped down to the waist. Jesus stands by a wooden trestle, and we see a saw that's resting on it. In the foreground is a person, a lady, we know it's a Mary, kneeling against the chest, as she does so, this chest is full of the treasures from the Magi, and she looks startled. Just at that moment, as Jesus stretches out his arms outstretched, looking heavenward, the setting sun catches the tool rack and forms a shadow of the cross behind him. Mary knows that this is a picture of what is to come. The Pre-Raphaelite painters were known for their sentimentality, and yet they were serious and sincere painters. Although this setting is fictitious, it holds a tremendous truth. Christ came to earth to die on a cross. He came to earth to relinquish, to let go of life, to face death that we might have life. Today we're going to look at Jesus' prayer of relinquishment, of letting go. Luke chapter 22, and we'll start reading at verse 39, if you'll open your Bibles or your tablets or your cell phones, as long as you're reading the text and nothing else. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he arose from prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation." Now that word relinquishment means to let go, to release. To give up on a plan, to give up on a habit, to give up on a belief, to surrender a possession, to relinquish the reins of your life. Friends, if we are to know God in the fullest sense, if we are to fellowship with Christ intimately, if we are to glorify God appropriately, if we are to bear fruit in abundance, we need to relinquish, we need to let go of the things that hold us. At the Garden of Gethsemane, there stands a church. It's called the Church of All Nations, also known appropriately as the Basilica of Agony. It's built on top of two other churches. The one was built at the time of the Crusaders, and before that there was another church built at the fourth, in the fourth century. And in the front of the altar inside this church, there remains a limestone rock that tradition says was the place where Jesus prayed and came to seek the Father. Somewhere near this place, Jesus would throw himself down to the ground and pray all night. Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Mark 14, verse 36. In essence, he was praying to the Father, Father, please find another way to accomplish your plans. A way that does not involve the rejection of the priests, the cries of the crowd, the torture of the soldiers, the pain and humiliation of the cross, and the darkness of death. On this night, Jesus would resist the path that was laid out before him. He struggled with what he believed was God's plan for his life. Remember it being the Last Supper. Jesus had served his disciples the bread and the cup. The disciples had been arguing who was the greatest. And then Jesus leads them up to the Mount of Olives into the Garden of Gethsemane. He leaves the larger group behind and he takes the three closest disciples with him, that intimate circle, Peter, James, and John. Further, and then he leaves them too, and he goes further alone in the garden. And Jesus begins to pray this prayer of relinquishment, this prayer of letting go. The first thing we see is that relinquishment is painful and difficult. What's at stake here as Jesus wrestles in prayer? It's the very suffering of carrying the sins of the world on his shoulders. In Matthew 26 and verse 37, we find Jesus, he's sorrowful, he's troubled. Listen to the words of the next verse, verse 38 of Matthew 26. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Luke 22 and verse 44 records that his sweat was like drops of blood, an agony condition. Here's the only place in the New Testament where that word agony is translated in the NIV, anguish is recorded. The Greek speaks of conflict and struggle. Here's the place where Jesus has to relinquish, has to let go. Three times scripture tells us, if you read all the passages in the Gospels, that Jesus goes to the Father for an alternative. My Father, Matthew 26, if this is possible, let this cup be taken from me. Is there any other way? The answer is no, there's no other way. Long into the night, Jesus wrestles, he struggles with the Father. You see, relinquishment or letting go is no easy task. God the Father turns his face away from his Son. And later it's recorded in Mark chapter 15, verse 34, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken by God. Just imagine that for a moment. Forsaken by God. Andrew Murray, the great South African pastor, wrote the following. For our sins, Christ suffered beneath the burden of that unanswered prayer. You see, relinquishment is painful. Letting go is painful and difficult. Relinquishment, secondly, does not come naturally. We find Jesus wrestling with the Father. And isn't that so true with us sometimes? We like to hold on to what we have. Imagine trying to take a toy away from a baby and see what happens. Aren't we sometimes like that? when we're wrestling with God and God says no, and it's like a baby that's clinging on to that little teddy bear. We often reason, my will be done, instead of your will be done. Better for me to be in control than somebody else. But when we've been through that school of Gethsemane, we begin to realize that that final relinquishment, your will be done, is best. My will, my way, my good must yield to a higher authority. Friends, relinquishment does not come naturally to us as people and even as Christians. The third thing, relinquishment is not fatalistic. It's not just throwing up your arms and saying, you know, what happens, happens. But relinquishment is purposeful in the Christian's life. You see, there was purpose in Jesus' Good Friday suffering. Now, you probably heard that experience, well, let go and let God. In a sense, it's true, and in a sense, it's not true. When we let go, not because we've just given up or given in. It is because we have that confident trust in the character of God, who God is. He's sovereign and perfect. You see, God is inviting us deeper and higher up. For Jesus, it meant death. And for Jesus, relinquishment meant resurrection. Just think about that for a moment. It meant death on the one hand, but it meant resurrection and glory on the other. Jesus had said earlier in John chapter 12 and verse 24, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man that loves his life will lose it. Well, the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Reflect on the words of Richard Foster. He put it like this. God has to help us to let go of our tiny vision in order to release the greater good that he has in store for us. Friends, reflect on that. God has to help you let go of your tiny vision in order to release the greater good that he has in store for you. Isn't that amazing? You know, our vision is small, but God has a far greater vision than we can even imagine. You know, we can do so many good things, but sometimes we don't do God's best. I was reflecting on that passage in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Remember, Saul goes out to battle the Amalekites, and he sacrifices the best animals, and he does the good thing, the religious thing that was acceptable in his culture. But you know, sadly, he actually disobeyed God's word to him. Samuel comes, the prophet comes, the man of God, and he addresses Saul who disobeyed, and he said the following. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you. This is part of it, and God is certainly transforming our character and our personalities. You see, relinquishment brings us to a priceless treasure. That priceless treasure is the crucifixion of the will. Galatians 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul had certainly experienced that crucifixion of self or of the will. He'd relinquished his own plans that he had for his life. And he said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Aren't those glorious words? A.W. Tozer, he calls it the crucifixion of the fine threads of the self-life. Freedom from those self-sins, self-sufficiency, self-pity, self-absorption, self-abuse, self-aggrandizement, self-deception, self-exaltation, self-depreciation, self-indulgence, and self-hatred. Now, change doesn't come like a whirlwind, but like a grain of sand in an oyster, until it eventually, after much time, grows into a beautiful pearl. Do you know that God's greatest warriors of the faith, they practice this prayer of letting go, of relinquishment? You can read their biographies, Andrew Murray, Hudson Taylor, the Wesley brothers, George Muller, and the list goes on and on. Chuck Swindoll said, the greatest men of God were broken by God. Another author, I think it's Wiersbe, but I can't exactly remember. He said that the greatest men of God have been hurt the most by God. Letting go of that which is dear and meaningful to us. Remember Abraham, as God called him, and God called him away from his home in Ur on a long journey to the promised land. And then if that wasn't enough, he called him to give up his one and his only son, Isaac. Remember the story as they go up the mountain, and God has instructed Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son. What a picture of the cross. Daddy, you have the wood and the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Letting go of that which is dear to us. You know, on that day, Abram's faith was proven. I'll never forget when I left Cape Town. In fact, long before that, we're at a service. A crusade. I was 16 years old, and at the end of that service, the pastor, the preacher, he challenged the people at that service to offer their lives to God, and if God so called, to offer themselves in full-time service in ministry. Now, I remember at the age of 16 going forward at that service, and then at that service, I remember the pastor then asked, for those folk who have come forward, there are parents here. If you're a parent and you're willing to let your child go, then please stand. And I remember turning around and there seeing my parents. They were standing up where they were seated. It was a huge auditorium. Sometimes God calls us to let go of things that are dear and precious to us. I think of the story, I think it's James Dobson, he tells the story, I think it's his grandfather. One day this young man, he came home, I think he was at school, ending school, maybe matric, and he said to his mom, God has spoken and I'm going to disobey. God had called this young man into ministry, but he was an artist and he wanted to study art. And he said to his mother, I'm not going to go to a seminary to study the Bible. I'm going to go to university and study art. And that's exactly what he did. But just then the Great Depression hit in America and across the world. And when he graduated, he couldn't get a job. And he ended up pumping petrol at a gas station. And as he did that, God began to work in his life. And he said, Lord, I'm now going to surrender my life to you. A little while after that, a letter came. It was from his professor. This letter was offering him a job to lecture in the university he'd studied at. And this letter had somehow got lost. That's obviously the hand of God, until he was ready to get that letter. And so he declined that letter and said, God has called me into ministry. And he went to study at a Bible school or a seminary. But you know, God has a sense of humor, because this man ended up as a lecturer in an arts department of a theological school. God gave him what he wanted, what he was gifted for. But you know, first we've got to surrender the things that are dear to us. Letting go of the things that are dear to us. Letting go of our ideas and our beliefs. Remember Moses, as he began to feel the call or the sense that something's wrong, that Israel as a nation has been treated slaves, that it was all wrong. And he takes matters in his own hand. And guess what happens? He eventually kills a man. And because of that, he's going to run for his life. D.L. Moody said, for 40 years, Moses thought he was a somebody. For 40 years, Moses discovered he was a nobody. And for the last 40 years of his life, as he surrendered to God, Moses discovered what God can do with a nobody. Friends, that's when we surrender, when we relinquish, when we let go, when we place our lives in God's hands. Letting go of our ideas and our beliefs. And then letting go of the sin that holds our lives. David is a classic example, as he had to relinquish, he had to give up the son that was born in adultery. He had an affair with Bathsheba. You know the story, don't you? And because of that affair, he had a child. He had to cover up and murder a man. And Nathan the prophet, he comes to David and he confronts him and he pronounces God's judgment on this man's life. We find David in 2 Samuel 12:16. He's pleading with a prophet. He's pleading with God. He fasts for this child's life. He spends nights lying on the ground pleading for this child. But we know the story, that the child passes on, he dies. And yeah, David goes through the horror of guilt. But he learns a lesson in Psalm 51 and in verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Let me say that again. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Letting go of the sin that holds us and plagues us. Letting go of controlling the future. If you're like me, you like to have things in nice boxes. And I'm sure you like that. You know, every box has got to have its T crossed and I dotted and so on. I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, as the angel Gabriel comes to her. And she relinquishes control as a young teenager to God. And to Gabriel, Luke 1:38, she says the following. I am the Lord's servant. May it be according to your word. Did Mary know what was ahead? That her own son would be crucified on a cross. But she gave God control of the future. Letting go of pain and sickness that plagues us. The Apostle Paul will read about in Corinthians, as he relinquished the desire to be free of the thorn that plagued his life. We find him three times pleading with the Lord. We're not sure what the thorn was, whether it was sickness or blindness or opposition or malaria, whatever it was. But you know, he learned a lesson. God's power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. And then he learned that lesson of relinquishment. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about your weaknesses. There we see the letting go, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Friends, this morning on this Easter Friday, what is God calling you to give up, to relinquish? What is coming between you and God? You see, sometimes we need to sever those roots. Perhaps it's anger that you need to let go of. Maybe anger is crying out and controlling your life. And God is saying to you this morning, let go of that anger. Maybe it's forgiveness. You just can't forgive. And that thing is a bitter root in your life. Maybe a family member, a friend, a child, a father or a mother, whatever it is. Perhaps it's a belief you need to give up. That's detrimental in your life. I'll never forget some years ago in Namibia. A weeping child. My parents just don't care about me. Perhaps it's a prejudice or a fear of letting go. That we need to let go of. I'll never forget for myself the fear of standing up in front of people. Even in college, in my fourth year, that thought of standing up in front of people, even five people, it absolutely terrorized me. Maybe it's resistance that God is calling you and you're refusing to go, whatever it might be. It could be to become a Sunday school teacher. It could be to go into missions or full-time ministry, whatever it is. I'll never forget the choice that I make. Malina and I just started dating and I was called to go to Namibia, 2,000 k's away. Perhaps God is calling you and today you need to say, Lord, I'm going to listen to that call. What is God calling you to let go of, to relinquish? How can we practice relinquishment? Well, the first thing is to come to a place of surrender. You see, this was Jesus' decision as he wept before God, as he agonized and as he fought in prayer. Jesus came to a place of absolute surrender. John 6:38, it says the following. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of the Father. And we read in the text, I think it's John, before this Easter weekend, Jesus resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem to be crucified on a cross. George Miller, the great man of God, a great prayer warrior, he said, 9/10 of our problem in prayer, 9/10, take note, is to align our will with the Father's. You know, it's often not that we don't know what God wants us to do. It's to align ourselves with the plans and the purposes of God. Friends, that's the challenge. If it's our desire to live for God's glory, how much easier it will be to relinquish, to let go. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 and verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of the fact that Christ has died for your sin and God has given you life, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Friends, we need to come to a place of surrender. Second, we need to determine to follow Jesus' example of servanthood. Philippians chapter 2, the kenosis passage, where Christ emptied himself, not of his divinity, not of his divine attributes, but he took the form of a servant. Just imagine that for a moment. The Almighty God, the creator of the universe, makes himself a servant, a foot-washing servant. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 to 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset or mind as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, not a God. Have I got it right there? That was a little A on the footnote. It's not a God, it's God. My apologies for that. Being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. And then Paul puts an exclamation mark, even death on a cross. And we'll hear more about that on Sunday. Friends, he humiliated himself to the very worst points by even dying on a cross that was reserved in the Roman Empire for non-citizens and criminals. Surrender, servanthood, and thirdly, we need to pray the prayer of release. Father, not my will, but your will be done. Friends, I do not know what your prayer of release will be, but this I know, that Christ will take you through the school of Gethsemane to the place of self-emptying, to the place of the cross and surrender, to the place of abandonment to God's divine will and plan, and then to resurrection. Do I need to say that again? I do not know what your prayer of release will be, what God is calling you to pray. But friends, this I know, that Christ will take you through this school of suffering at Gethsemane, to the place of self-emptying, to the place of abandoning yourself to God's divine plan and will, and then to resurrection. Can we say amen to that? Still awake? Pray the prayer of release, and lastly, yield to the voice of the Word of God of Scripture. Do not be like Saul, who did good things, but he didn't do the right thing. I want to close this morning. It's been a long morning, but it's been an important morning. Andrew Murray again, who wrote about abandonment to God, and he said the following: the Spirit teaches me to yield my will entirely to the will of the Father. He opens my ear to wait in the great gentleness and teachableness of soul for what the Father has day to day to speak and to teach. He discovers to me how union or relationship with God's will is union with God himself, how entire surrender to God's will is the Father's claim, the Son's example at Calvary, and the true blessedness of the soul. Let's bow in prayer as we reflect on that. Father, we just reflect that at Calvary you let go, you relinquished, you gave up. And Father, you set the example for us. Lord, we may not be called to be crucified and nailed to a cross. But Lord, you do call us to relinquish and let go. Friends, as we bowed, maybe God has spoken to you this morning. Maybe the Spirit of God has touched an area in your life that you need to give up, you need to let go of. It could be to pornography or drugs or something like that. It could be an attitude or a sin. Maybe anger or unforgiveness. And God is speaking right into your heart now. Won't you pray right now and say, Lord, won't you let me, help me, let go, relinquish? On this Easter Friday, I want to offer up this thing to you. Won't you do that right now? Won't you pray? Maybe for somebody here this morning, you've been resisting becoming a Christian because you want to live life like you want to live life, and you see Christianity as dull and boring. But you know, today, Jesus has spoken into your life. And now he's tugging at your heart and saying, Paul, it's time that you accept me as Lord and Savior. Won't you pray right now that sinner's prayer? Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've broken your law. I've sinned against you and against others and against myself. Won't you forgive me? Won't you make me a child by your Holy Spirit? Father, I ask that this morning. Friends, if you've never prayed that prayer, won't you do that right now? Father, as people pray in this place, won't your Spirit empower them to be children of God, to overcome, to forgive, to claim your promises? We pray that now in your wonderful, wonderful name. Let's stay bowed. I was reflecting this morning, that wonderful song. All to Jesus I surrender. All to thee I freely give. I will ever love and trust you, in your presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with your love and power. Let your blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to your name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Friend, if it's meaningful to you to come forward and just kneel at the front, you're welcome to do that. If God is speaking this morning and you want to come forward and say, yes, Lord, I want to just proclaim before you. If you want to come forward, you're welcome to do that. Father, we thank you for this day, this very special day. Lord, we pray that our commitments would stand before heaven. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your relinquishment of your life. Lord, that you went to death for our sakes. And oh God, we pray that you likewise would help us to relinquish. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen.